Good to see you all today. Thanks to our children for putting together this display of animals who are predators and prey living together in harmony at the front of our table. Just a beautiful image for communion and a lot of what we'll be hearing about today as we consider this passage from Isaiah. I'm going to be talking about in my sermon about this book. Has anybody read this book called The Wild Robot? If you haven't read this book, you should read this book. And I am going to ask you to listen carefully to what the story is about. And maybe we can think about how it connects to what we made here at the front today. And then I wonder what you think it would take for us to live like Jesus in a way that we could make something like what we see down here happen. So those are some things we'll be talking about. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's feeling intractable. My friend Amy sent me a text last week with those words as she waited for a flight back to the United States from Jordan. My friend Amy is a long-termer in Palestine, having gone back and forth, accompanying communities and bringing groups to the West Bank for more than a decade. She was there to visit friends. It's feeling intractable, she told me, as we discuss the weight of this past year for people in places that we love. Back when I was taking the dreaded SATs, I would remember the word intractable as a tractor stuck in a ditch, encased in mud, so deep there was no way to pull it out. We live in a world with a lot of tractors stuck in the geopolitical mud. Yemen and Syria, North Korea and Colombia, Ukraine and Lebanon. No matter how we tug and pull and pray and try and hope, we see generations and centuries of destruction and death. These forces collide, enemies entrench. And as we live through these terrors, it becomes clear that negotiation, compromise, diplomacy, this just isn't enough. It turns out we need a whole new world. We long for a new world. Thousands of years ago, Judah's prophet Isaiah put this kind of longing into words, the words we heard today. Judah has been crushed and humiliated by the Assyrian army. In the ancient world, the best response to this horrific attack is not unlike what we see guide our response today. We need strong leadership. And it wasn't unusual to see ancient peoples present their kings as those who could dominate nature. Can imagine this with King David, who we first learn about because he has killed a lion, right? Protecting sheep. If you can kill a bear or a lion or a wolf, you can lead an army into battle. But the Bible is full of surprises. In this oracle, instead of a king who wrestles a grizzly to the ground, we are shown predator and prey walking side by side as a child leads them. Nature itself has been reordered. Lambs don't lie down with wolves. Animals who are prey, which is actually most animals, are built with instincts that identify predatory threats. They can smell and hear and even taste their presence. And then they run away. Laying down with a wolf is the surest way to become dinner if you are a lamb. In the same way, lions don't eat straw. Well, at least not exclusively. A lion typically eats 10 to 15 pounds of meat every single day to survive. But in Isaiah's vision, this super protein grass is enough to nourish a lion. Creatures who are normally enemies, they lose their instinct of fight or flight. The first Christians who heard this prophecy, they recognized Jesus of Nazareth in these words. The shoot that grew from Jesse, that was Mary's son. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon him at baptism. His delight is in awe of God, his Father. And it is from this Jesus that we discover that the reordering of our bodies from domination and destruction is a gift. We can't will ourselves into a new nature. It had to be given to us. And that's what happens. In Jesus, God's goodness is communicated to you. Without destroying our personhood, we are made in the image of God. In Jesus Christ, we become what we are not, something that's beyond us. The African theologian Augustine described this becoming like Christ with the metaphor of light. God is like the sun that shines on people. And this, Augustine writes, brings them illumination so that they're full of light. And by participation in that light, they exist in a state of perfection. I imagine that Augustine would have appreciated seeing this happen in solar-powered lights that absorb the energy from the sun and then make their own light. I guess the battery in this metaphor is the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to shine with the same light of God, even though we never could actually become the sun, right? I found this metaphor especially near to me this week as I read the book I mentioned before, The Wild Robot. The book just came out as a movie, so I wanted to get ahead of it and read the book first. It's a story about a Razem Unit 7134 who survives a shipwreck and washes onto shores of an island inhabited by woodland animals, but no people. The robot's nickname is Roz, figures out her surroundings through imitation. She watches the animals learn to survive, and she survives a bear attack in particular. And in chapter 10, we receive this little reminder from the author. Roz didn't know that she'd been accidentally activated by curious sea otters. As the robot looked out at the island, it never even occurred to her that she might not belong there. As far as Roz knew, she was home. And as I read on, I remembered something else Augustine once wrote. Whatever, therefore, we choose through our love, that we also become. Whatever, therefore, we choose to love, that we also become. Roz begins to offer care to other creatures. First to this egg that she adopts after a tragedy befalls this egg's family. Roz learns from others how to hatch the egg and eventually to feed the gosling inside, to teach it to swim and to fly. And as she loves, she becomes more like the world around her and less like what she was designed to be, a robot that does household chores, detached and methodical. And as this becoming what we choose to love culminates in a scene that is plucked from Isaiah. I searched diligently to see where Peter Brown went to church to get some sense of this. But Roz reboots one morning and finds herself in the middle of winter. And this deadly cold has overtaken the land. And she notices these animals that she's chosen to love, that she's imitated, they are freezing. But Roz has learned how to make a fire. And so she does, in the safety of the shelter she learned to make by imitating a beaver couple. And so she begins to invite others, any suffering creature, into her home. And that includes creatures who are both predator and prey. As Roz looked around, she saw moles curling up beside an owl, a mouse snuggling between two weasels, hares nestling against a badger. Never before had the robot seen prey and predator so close and so peaceful. But how long could this possibly last? "I propose a truce," said Roz. "Everyone must agree not to hunt or harm one another while in my lodge." They all agree. "Then it is settled. My home is a safe place for all. You all are welcome to stay here as long as you like," said the robot as the animals rubbed sleep from their eyes. "My home is your home." Roz calls this place the nest. It has been a joy to read The Wild Robot in one hand and Isaiah in the other this week, because it's helped me see what this prophecy might mean for us. Because a wolf lying down with a lamb might seem a little pie in the sky with how deeply our tractors are stuck in the mud. What hope might there be for us today? Not just in a future where Jesus reigns in peace and the child leads us. And perhaps Augustine has something to say. We become more and more of what we love. The longer we stay in the light of the sun, the brighter we shine. And that is the sort of thing that takes us beyond our natures of retaliation and revenge, of compromise and capitulation. We discover that we look more and more like God. As it is, the church is a bit like Roz's nest. We take what we have, ourselves transformed, and we build a place of safety and nourishment. The more we imitate Jesus, the more we become the one we love. And on this World Communion Sunday, we remember fellow Christians around the world who are building these nests, creating places of shelter when the world caves in, when all hope is lost. But remember, this is a gift. It's not a guarantee, and it's not a magic spell. Calling something a church doesn't make it a place of safety and care. Christians throughout history have been more than happy not only to kill people who aren't Christians, but also other Christians. And yet, from time to time, we find that we have come close enough to imitating Jesus that we can build a nest that declares the truths of peace. Today, with Christians around the world, we long for and we hope and we pray, but we also build this nest, twig by twig, leaf by leaf. Amen.